Thank you. So I have a question for everyone today. When you were younger, who were your influences? Who did you look to when you were younger to kind of shape your ideas, to shape your lives? Your parents. That's a good answer. Emily, enough, that's at the earlier service, I got the same answer for many people, your parents. And unfortunately, as true as it is for most of us, kids these days look elsewhere for their influences. The definition of an influencer is someone who has the ability to affect the decisions of others. And that's a pretty powerful label to have. As an influencer, it gives you many responsibilities. And today, the word influencers has a whole new meaning. It's actually a title nowadays. And if you're not familiar with what that means, an influencer today is someone who puts videos of themselves on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X. X is what Twitter used to be. The problem with that is they're targeting the younger generations. They're targeting the younger generation so much so that when I worked at Donegal and you would ask one of the kids what they want to be when they grow up, they say, I want to be an influencer. I wanted to be an astronaut. But they look at these videos as their heroes, as the people that they want to be like. And the unfortunate side of this is these influencers that they're spending most of their day with through the screens of their phones, most likely, these influencers are self-promoting, meaning they want you to watch them and be influenced by them. Why? So they can make more money. I know at one point I grew up in the 70s and 80s, that during cartoons, there would be commercials for the toys for the show that you're watching. And they stopped that. They said, you're not allowed to show cartoons for your toys during the time that your cartoon is on television. Because they felt that was an unfair influence on the children as potential consumers. The influencers of today on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X, they don't have that sort of decency. If you ever wondered why a Stanley Cup went from being $19.99 to $39.99, Stanley Cup, by the way, it's an insulated cup. Like you would put coffee or something in. I thought it was a hockey trophy when this first came out. And everybody's like, you got to get a Stanley Cup. You got to get a Stanley Cup. And I'm like, really? Well, you got to play hockey? Like, I really didn't know. And oddly enough, totally unrelated to this, I was at the thrift shop and there was a Stanley Cup, the hockey trophy, popcorn popper. It was the coolest thing. And I bought it. And it was at the same time that this trend came around and all the kids were saying, I want a Stanley Cup. I want a Stanley Cup. I said, I just bought one and it's a popcorn popper. And they had no idea what I was talking about. And before that, it was the Hydro Flask, which again is just a bottle. It's also how Dunkin' Donuts started to outsell Starbucks. Because 10 years ago, the influencers were telling you to go to Starbucks. Now, for some reason, they're telling you to go to Dunkin' Donuts. And now it's just called Dunkin's. because I guess Dunkin' Donuts was too long of a title for the influencers. So now the kids are saying, can we go to Dunkin'? So much so that Dunkin' Donuts has changed their name to Dunkin'. Or they're in the process of doing that. Teens these days that are missing influencers at home are turning to these people rather than those around them. Teens today, from what I gather, from the ones that I interact with, are lonely. Kids today, or kids of any day, just want to be accepted. They want to be seen, and they want to be loved. Is that so wrong? But the problem is these social media influencers are taking advantage of that. Kids today look at these images and think of them as their friend. They don't realize that it's just a commercial that's trying to take advantage of their weaknesses. It's hard today to be a teen, I would imagine, with so much social media out there and so little at home. Again, this is just based on experiences with kids that I've interacted with, but it seems like the home life has become more separated. So when you say your influence were your parents, as did many people, that's not a thing anymore. And that's an unfortunate truth. Now, I'm sure there are families out there that still have that special time together. But with work schedules, sports schedules, and just wanting downtime, I think it's becoming less and less. I have memories of Sunday dinners where we would all get together and sit at a table. No cell phones, because we didn't have cell phones, but and ate dinner together. Or visiting grandparents. I don't think that happens as it should. There's one kid that I knew, or I guess I still know him, but I asked him because he's struggling. And he's one of the kids that wants to be an influencer. And I said to him, I said, do you sit down and have a meal with your family? It's just him and his mom. And he said, no. I said, well, how do you eat dinner? And he's like, my mom brings me a tray to my room. And I eat dinner while I play Roblox. What chance does that kid have in that moment if something doesn't change in his life? Another kid that I knew, who I had an opportunity to spend time with since kindergarten, who is now 16. I've talked about her before because she was recently baptized. And I asked her the other day, I said, hey, can I ask you a question and share the answer with people at church? And she said, absolutely. I asked her, I said, so what's the hardest thing about being a Christian and a teenager? Because again, she just turned 16. And I said, what's the best thing about being a Christian and a teenager? And she replied and said, hey, no problem, I love to share. And she said, probably the hardest thing about being a Christian is being friends with others and not being able to share the gospel with them. And whenever you try, they shut you down. And this is one of the biggest problems, I think, with teens today. It is a direct conflict between believers and non-believers. And the teens are feeling that. I've had other teens tell me that kids are just mean. And that's another challenge. But this girl goes on to say, the best part, I would say, is probably the support that comes with it from my friends in youth group. So this is the thing that kids need to understand, is that there may be five mean kids that treat you like dirt and make you want to be angry and bitter and feel alone, but all you need is one that believes in Jesus as her Savior or his Savior to treat you right. You don't need to be a part of the five that don't know Jesus. Find the one, and they'll give you all the compassion that you need. She goes on to say, it feels like family. And I feel that my biggest struggle with believing in Jesus is feeling that my prayers are not being answered. Imagine it, 16 years old. And I try to overcome those feelings with daily reminders to myself that one day they will be answered. And maybe it may not be a part of God's plan. And he has everything under control. And then she ends in saying, thank you for asking. I love reflecting on my walk with Christ. 16 years old, and she knows about God's plan. This is a girl I've known since kindergarten. This is a girl that I know faced many challenges in her life. I won't get into too many specific details because it is her private life, but I can only guess what some of those prayers are that she was waiting for an answer. She had many struggles. And I will share, because I know she won't mind if she sees this and shares, she was a difficult child. She admitted to it. When I ran into her at Donegal, at the intermediate school, I hadn't seen her since kindergarten. And I was in the lunchroom doing the lunchroom duty that I was required to do as part of my job. And I saw this girl sitting at a table by herself. And I went over and sat down and I started to talk with her. She was wearing a shirt that had butterflies on it. And I like butterflies. So I sat down and started talking about butterflies. And I said, why are you sitting by yourself? She's like, I don't know. And then as we got to talking, I realized who she was. And I'm like, how cool is this? I haven't seen you since kindergarten. And then we started talking. And then she started to introduce me to some of her friends. She did have friends with her. They were just not together that day. But in through talking with her, and over the next 2 years of knowing her through Donegal, I saw her begin to change. I saw her life begin to open up to more time with her friends. And she had friends that were bad influences, and she had friends that were good influences. But God, as she said, had a plan. And one day, she came to me, and she said, will you take me to youth group? One of the kids at school invited her to youth group. And she lives like 30 seconds from my house. And the church is like a minute from my house. So I talked with Colleen about it. And she said, absolutely, you should give her a ride. So I started driving her to youth group every Wednesday night. And then we lost contact again. And the next thing I knew, I saw her being baptized on Facebook. a positive influence to others. She wasn't ashamed of the gospel anymore. She wanted to share the gospel. And it all began with people influencing her. If I could be as bold to say, her influence began in kindergarten because she went to a Christian children's center. And then her life moved on. And I am not taking any credit for this. But to run into her again in sixth grade, I don't think was an accident. Because she didn't have a ride to youth group. And she wanted to go. And that's kind of where we all come into this. We may not have young children in our direct lives, but it doesn't mean that we can't be influences towards their lives. It doesn't mean that we can say they're somebody else's problem. I know Pastor Manny, who shares our church, he has a youth group here. And need be, he goes and picks them up and brings them. How cool is that? That the kids want to come to church and they have a way here. Because that's important to them, and they're not being blown off and saying, I'm too busy to take you to church. Because parents don't always have the same views as their children. Usually it's in a negative way. But what I learned as a youth leader, sometimes it was easier to get the kids to church than it was the parents. That's where we come in as Christians. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to know that no matter how old we are, we can be a positive influence on the next generation of believers. It's not somebody else's job. It's not something that we turn a blind eye to. And I know I look at myself and I think, I'm too old for this. I served in children's ministry when I was young, but what can I do now? I'm 53 years old. I groan when I stand up. If I run down the street, something better be chasing me because I feel old and I feel tired. And I'm about ready to go into a week of VBS over at Bainbridge Church of God. And I'm going into it feeling tired. But I believe at the end of the week, I will be energized with the kids around me and their excitement towards Jesus. We have been talking about missions a lot at Columbia Church of God. We were passing out papers to everyone to see which missions are important to you so that we could help them out in certain ways. And we have had meetings and we have chosen different ministries based on the papers that you had submitted. I'm going to show you a short video here of one of the ministries that was chosen so that you can see what they're doing and see if you can connect it with our message today. So, Wes, whenever you're ready.
In 2009, I had two nephews who had lost a father to cancer. They needed some time with a father figure. We bicycled 1,150 miles in the Rocky Mountains of Montana and Wyoming. It just dawned on me, there are so many folks getting lost in the noise of today's culture that without somebody there, it's easy for them to get derailed and they deserve a better chance. It felt like the Lord was saying, the conditions are right now, and if not you, who? And if not now, when? And so we stepped out in faith. Our constant prayer was, Lord, hold us in your hand and guide us.
I've been with Lifecycle since day one, actually. Lee and I decided to do a 70-mile ride. We were just completely exhausted and fulfilled. And we both had the similar epiphanies, like we can walk alongside young men and give them the experience that we had of breathing life into each other.
We'd had a guys team for a couple years, and we had enough girls that were interested. I talked to a couple other people, and they're like, yeah, if we had a girls team, my daughter would join. And as I'm praying through this, I was like, okay, God, I don't want to do this alone. I don't want this to just be me. Almost from day one, had so much support. We're like, okay, we can do this and have a full girls team.
Jesus is the hand that guides everything in Life Cycles, and God's hand has been over this to this very moment.
Life Cycles is uplifting.
This is really fun. This is amazing. It's epic.
It's the best.
Life Cycle is amazing!
Well, the mission of Life Cycles is to build young men and women of character in a Christ-centered bicycle touring adventure experience. It's an experience. We want people to have this adventure.
We have 70 to 80 volunteer leaders who come out because they have a passion for the next generation. But even more than that, they love Jesus and they want to share that.
Lord, we have been so blessed by this ministry over the last 10 years. Pray for the protection of the boys and the girls as we ride. In your name, amen.
This is a way for them to do something they like and give back at the same time.
We have four generations of people gathering.
It's some of the harder years of growing up, watching that mentorship happen in their walk with Christ has just been so rewarding.
Young people mixing with older people in a Christ-centered way, that's what our new generation of boys and girls need, is mature ladies and men to be able to grow their character.
Week after week after week, they grow, and we get to come alongside them. I can't wait. I can't wait to get here and work with the ministry.
Before, I was such a shy person, and now they broke me out of my shell, so. I've gained a lot of confidence just being in Life Cycle, something I probably never would have thought I had in me.
One of the things I think that drives people to Life Cycles and keeps them there is family. You feel like you belong.
Parents come to us and say, this is the first thing that my son or daughter has found.
There's no competition. They can come and be exactly who they are and be loved where they are for as long as they need to be.
There's a safety that allows these friendships to blossom. That's what helps set Life Cycles apart.
We love Life Cycles!
We've got a motto that's a lot of fun. Do hard things. They want to challenge themselves. They know they can do more, and they love to find out what they are capable of.
Before Life Cycles, I didn't do any activities that actually pushed me to my absolute limits. After I started doing Life Cycles, I had friends and leaders to help push me to do more miles and just finish the day. And it felt so rewarding to just have that accomplishment under my belt.
When you sweat together, when you work really hard, it bonds you in a way that you wouldn't normally be bonded. And when you can bring Christ into that, it just creates this amazing family.
Ever since growing up, my dad's always been sick. Without Life Cycles, I wouldn't have friends, family, and something to look forward to. It's been so beneficial to me in walking with Christ, and I love to see that happen to others.
Go to Silas! And Joe!
Nice work.
There's a building block approach that culminates with a summer challenge ride. They may ride to Niagara Falls, the Adirondack Mountains, Maine. Now you come home from this, and there's been a deeper spirituality, a deeper connection, and this relationship lasts for the rest of their life. Those teens and those leaders are tight.
Honestly, from the beginning, I was like, a mountain? I don't think I can do that. And one of the leaders that was on the ride chair was like, you got this, keep going, don't give up. This is just amazing, something I never would have thought that I would be doing. And just to be like, wow, I just accomplished something great. Just really glad that I've been able to be part of this and having Jesus with me, just guiding me with each step of life.
When I'm on a bike, I feel awesome, and I can just push myself harder, and you can just see this amazing sunset. I just feel like singing a worship song or something and just praising him, because it's a powerful moment.
We have the opportunity to show them that they don't have to be defined by their circumstances, knowing that they are loved and valued and that they can do hard things.
What we've seen now for 10 years is watching teens mature. And by the time they are leaving Life Cycles, many of them are asking Jesus into their life. They are getting baptized. They're on mission trips. They're going off to trade school, college. They're getting married. We have this beautiful opportunity to have a front row seat of watching somebody flourish into adulthood.
We just stand amazed at what God has done for us. Jesus is changing lives one ride at a time.
I just have this confidence that if the Lord says go, he's going to make it happen if we'll just stay faithful.
I can't even begin to imagine what will happen in the next 5 or 10 years, but I know that God is faithful and that he has a plan.
we're going to change the country? By changing the generations to come. That's what this group is doing. They are changing the futures of these children. They are changing the futures of these children by introducing them to Christ. We need this. Our country needs this. How's it going to change our country? We'll have to wait and see. But just to give you a little perspective, I'm going to break it down for you with some statistics. I don't know if you like statistics or not, but I found this to be fascinating. If you were born between 1925, well, you would be 100. But if you were born between 1925 and 1945, you are called the silent generation. Yep, the silent generation. Did you fall in that category? Well, congratulations, because 74% of the silent generation are Christians. If you were born between 1946 and 1964, you're called a boomer. Fun word to say, boomer. 67% of boomers are Christians. Generation X. That's me. That's if you were born between 1965 and 1980. Of that generation, 56% are Christians. You see where this is going? Millennials, if you were born between 1981 and 1996, 45% Christian. And Gen Z, which is 1997 to 2012, only 38% are Christians. We are in a decline with our belief in Christ. And this 38% will continue to go down unless somebody steps in and gets the kids moving forward. Why do you think it's going down so much? What was that? Electronics, because electronics are becoming their influencers. I see it on a regular basis. Kids cannot be without their phones. And not for nothing, the parents are part of the problem. When I worked at Donegal and we would take phones away from their kid, the first person to complain, other than the kid, was the parent. Well, what if I got to reach my child? Well, you call the school. If a kid is acting up in the grocery store, what's the first thing a parent does? Gives them their phone to watch something. Now, when y'all were kids, if you acted up in the grocery store, what would your parent do? They'd grab the closest thing they could get and whoop you with it. I ain't condoning whooping your children. But what I'm saying is the influence of the devices are killing this nation. It's killing this nation because it's pulling them away from Christianity. For one, it's pulling them away from being respectful because their influencers, if you've ever watched them, are not respectful people. The only one I've ever seen that I watched on a regular basis that I would recommend to kids was Sadie Robertson, Duck Dynasty, the daughter. Because she was famous throughout the run of that show, and she was a teenager, and she would post positive messages on social media. She is one of the few. So a strange statistic that I found was even though 38% were Christians of Generation Z, 77% believe that something else is out there. 77% believe in a God of sorts, but only 38%, half, believe in Christianity. Why can they believe in something but not in Christ? That is an answer I do not have, other than they were born with the desire of Christ in their heart, but it is not being matured by those around them. They need to be influenced by the generations that know. By the generations that know a heart that obeys is a heart that loves God and honors Him. A generation that doesn't make excuses or reasons why they can't do that. Well, let me ask you this. At the ages that we sit here now, who are you influenced by? The media? The news? Politicians? We need to bring our influence of Christ to our generations to come. I will say I woke up this morning stressed out. I woke up today stressed out because, again, we have VBS tonight at Bainbridge Church. And I'm just thinking about all the things rolling through my head about what I need to do, what I got to do, what's going to come up this week, along with all the regular responsibilities. And it stresses me out. But I know once I get in the moment, I will feel the ease of Jesus and the Holy Spirit embracing what we're doing with these children. And then I also think the pressures that a teen faces, social media, kids at school, grades, relationships, their choices in life are based on the pressures that they are feeling. And if they hold those pressures and have no way to release them in a good way, they're going to get released in a bad way. Because they cannot continue to build up that pressure. They can't build up that pressure without having some release. That's why they need to know Christ. That's why as a church, it is our job to teach them about Christ. If we don't help influence the generations to come, we are leaving them to the wolves. We need to shepherd our children because they are gifts from God. They are the never-ending flow of Christ's love into this world. And our youth are in danger. 38%. That's not a passing grade. I think a lot of people today say, why bother? Parents say, I want my child to make their own choices. That's a danger. Because what child, without the knowledge of the Bible, can even choose Jesus? If a child is only shown social media, if a child is only left to sleep in on Sundays or focus on soccer or basketball or baseball or whatever sport they're playing, that's us failing the child. I came to Christ later in life, as many people do. So some people might think, what does it matter if my 7-year-old believes in Christ? What does it matter if my 15-year-old believes in Christ? Or our 20-some-year-old? Or our 30-year-old? I'm going to show you why it matters. Wes, the final video.
It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. It's for you, my friend. This happiness that I found. Can't depend on it. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintops.
Praise God!
I want to pass it on. I'll shout it from the mountaintops. Praise God! I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
What are these kids doing? Singing praises to God as their bus is driving over the flood that just took the lives of so many of their friends. We never know what tomorrow holds. Whether they're 6 years old, whether they're 17 years old, whether they're in their 20s or their 30s. Do you think these kids went to camp knowing what was going to happen? No. But what happened when they were faced with a storm they had no control over? They praised God. That's why it's important. That's why we need to get God in the hearts of every generation. That is what matters. That we can praise God in the darkest of times. And have the confidence. I don't know if you've been watching the news about this. I have been watching the news on the floods all week. And as the death toll rises, so does the name of God. The parents of the victims, people that have lost everything. When the news camera turns to them, they have been praising God. That's what we all need. And that's what our children need the most. Let's pray.